Okay, so we are up to Ches in the Kitzer ban Hagos Horos Isser Veheter of the Shach. Is a list of rules for paskening halacha, and this is a very interesting one here. I wasn't sure what is the best way to approach it. Probably best we'll read it through first, and then kind of go through the story of it. It's a pretty important idea. So in Ches he says, "Kol makom shedivri harishonim ksuvim al sefer v'heimu for summit." That any time where you have words of rishonim. Now, what do rishonim mean? So in our parlance, rishonim mean anyone kind of from the gaonim. Up through Shulchan Aruch. That's usually how we qualify Rishonim. It's unclear if that's who the Shach is referring to. He could just be referring to people of an earlier genre. So people that when they're earlier people that wrote something, I will say for him and for some, and it's well known. Everybody knows what they said. But then there's later authorities that disagree with those earlier authorities. So holkim achar hachronim, we follow the later authority rather than the early authority. Okay, is that a surprise to anyone here?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a bit of a surprise. I've never heard it before.
Usually it seems to be the opposite.
Right, so we're trained to think the opposite, but this is at least the way the Shach is referring to this halacha. This is the concept known as halacha kibasrai, that the halacha follows the later opinion. So let's read a little bit more about what he says, and then we'll talk about it. Vali nimsa lepam tshuvas gon v'lo al zichrono al sefer v'nimsa achir mcholken alav ein sarach lifso kachronim. However, if you find a tshuva from an earlier opinion, below all is a chrono, and it wasn't found in a sefer, and others, or you find others disagree with it, then you don't have to pass like the later ones. Because it could be they didn't know the earlier opinion. And had they known it, they would have changed their opinion. I mean, had this later person seen this tshuva of the Rashba someplace that he wasn't able to find earlier, so then we won't say hello. Oh, we're going to pass him like he's later. Anyways, it could be that he should have known the Rashba. He should have known the Rashba. This is
calls into question how much documentation the later.
Yes, so that's one. That's one question. Another question is, what about nowadays? So nowadays, all of a sudden, you find the Meiri that wasn't had for hundreds of years. So does he qualify as a Rishon that perhaps could even alter the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch? So I don't know if we're going to get to that. That is a major controversy, which maybe we'll begin at the end. We'll save that for last if we even get to it tonight at all. Then v'yesh cholkim, and then there are those that disagree. Says the Shach, she'ein shon lachron neged gilo rishon. That we don't listen to the later opinions against earlier opinions. V'yesh lahachmir, and there are those that are machmir, meaning machmir between these two possibilities, either always following the later one or whichever one. I mean, you're going to follow the machmir one, either if they're the later or if they're the earlier. It sounds like mikol makom im ha'achron mevi divrei rishon. If the later one brings the rishon, v'cholik lam disagrees with it. If it im hu meforsam b'kach shehu roy lachlok, if he is known as somebody that has the ability to disagree on the other ones, we have the right to rely on him. Meaning it's not just the later opinion would have heard, known of that Rishon, but he actually quotes it and then says why he thinks it's wrong. And I think I'm going to disagree. So he says, then you can rely on that. But he has to explain it. Now, if there is then in the hands of the Mora, somebody who's trying to figure out a psak, I mean, who does he paskin like? This later person doesn't get the earlier one, but he quotes the earlier one and has his arguments. Yoch lifso keizish yirtzus. Then he has a choice. I mean, this later person, this person now looking at it, I have the earlier opinion, I have the later opinion, I know where the later opinion disagree with the earlier opinion. So I can then decide which one I'm going to hold like. Mikomakom ein lachlok al gaon makamo, but he can't disagree with the earlier gaonim. Now, who is that? And he says, "And we code them harif kfar pasku doros hagaonim." So then, from the rif and onwards, that's when the gaonim ended. Okay. So he said a few things there. What?
Before the rif.
Before the rif, right? The rif already is beginning the period of the rishonim. So that would then include rif, Rambam, Rashi. All those people are considered rishonim. Gaonim are people who are generally known as gaonim. Now, I'm not sure. I didn't see anyone comment on this because we don't. That's not how we disagree with the gaonim. Regularly, right? Tosfos disagree, but there we have Rishonim that are disagreeing with the Gaonim. So I think what he's saying is maybe we could disagree with up to that point, but not before that point, or at least from his perspective, living when the Shach lived, you could disagree up to the Gaonim, but not earlier, but not before that point, unless you have somebody who's disagreeing with them. right? But what did he have here? So he had one opinion that you could we always follow the later one. And then he seems to say, well, those disagree and say that when you have a later opinion disagrees on the earlier opinion, and they have and the later opinion is saying why he's disagreeing with the earlier opinion, so then you have a choice. I mean, they're considered then on equal status. What happened then to the rule of halacha kebasrai? Does that mean that this later opinion is rejecting the idea of halacha kebasrai? So the answer is yes. The answer is yes. The Shach seems to be quoting two opinions here about whether we assume like halacha kebasrai or whether we don't. Now, how can you do that? I thought halacha kebasrai is a rule. The answer is, who says it's a rule? It's not found in the Gemara. Right, it is found in the Rishonim. We'll get to where, but it's unclear what the early Rishonim meant by it, and whether it would apply. It could be, and it only applies to the Gemara. Rishonim are only applying it to the Gemara, but not necessarily applying it to themselves. Okay, so let's go. So the sort of the history, the halachic history of halachic kibasrai. There's an article here in someone Yisrael Tashma. I'm not sure if he's alive anymore. Yeah,
halachic kibasrai means that we follow the earlier people, right?
No. No, like the later opinions. Like Baba Basra, right? Baba Basra is the last of the three. So halacha kebasrai means we follow the later opinions.
It sounds like the later people are saying we're not going to follow the rule about following the earlier people. So the later people change the rule to say we should...
Whoa, no, one second. Who says there was ever a rule about following the earlier people?
Well, you said that some of the earlier people said that they should follow the earlier people.
Well, I'm not sure I said that. There is. I mean, we have... The reason why it might be surprising to hold about this idea called halacha kebasrai is, of course, if you learned Gemara, so Gemara seems to be premised on the idea that Amorayim can't disagree with Rishonim.
Because the closer you are to Moshe Sinai...
Amorayim can't disagree with Tanayim.
Because the closer you are to Moshe Sinai...
Correct. So that's the premise, that's the rules of the game in the Gemara. The issue is, though, we actually, halacha kebasrai would apply to the Gemara. I mean, that's the rule, but in terms of generational issues in the Gemara, we actually follow later opinions in the Gemara rather than earlier opinions in the Gemara. So we would follow Ravina and Ravashi, who are considered the last of the Amorayim, over Rava Abaye, the people of that generation. Okay? So but where does that rule come from? Who came up with that idea, and what is it? What is its premise? So there is this book by Yisrael Tashma. He's a from Barry Eichler knew him well in that world. One time we asked Rabbi J.J. Schachter, what is a good introductory book to scholarly halakhic history, and he recommended this book in history in English, Yisrael Tashma, Creativity and Tradition. He has an article, chapter 9, I think perhaps one of the two very, very famous articles from this book is The Law in Accordance with the Later Authority, Halakhic Kevasrai, which follows this topic. And he sort of attempts to trace out the idea that there isn't much of a history to it. The Gemara never mentions it. It is found first, from what I could tell, this is also found from other sources, from what I could tell, the first real source of it is in the Rif. The Rif towards the end of Maseches Erevin is dealing with a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli seems to disagree with the Yerushalmi, and the Rif says that we paskin like the Bavli over the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi was sealed, I think, 200 or so years before the Bavli was. And Israel was sort of, that was pretty much the end of the Torah life in Eretz Yisrael. So Yerushalmi was written, Bavli was written a couple hundred years later. We pass on like the Bavli or the Yerushalmi. Why says him? Because we have this rule, Halacha Kebasrai, and we understand that the people of Bavel knew what the Yerushalmi said. They had the Yerushalmi said, and if they're disagreeing with what the Yerushalmi said, so it must mean that they think that it's wrong. And that is actually, it seems to be the premise. When Rishonim talk about this idea of halacha kebasrai, that is the svara. That the later opinions saw the earlier opinion, and they disagreed with it. And therefore, we have the right to follow that later opinion, which is why the Shach puts in the caveat that if they didn't see the earlier opinion, so then the idea of halacha kebasrai would therefore be inapplicable. Now, it is interesting.
I don't know how many exceptions to that.
Oh, plenty of exceptions.
But there is an exception that I'm aware of in terms of eating, there is a Ramah somewhere which goes against the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch passes straight out of the Bavli.
Okay.
The Ramah says this is our minhag.
Yeah.
Where does the minhag come from? The minhag
okay.
is not mentioned in the Bavli, apparently Bichlal.
Okay.
And apparently the source of the minhag is a Yerushalmi.
Right.
And because Ashkenazi Jewry stems from the Jews that lived in Israel as opposed to the Jews that lived in Babylon.
It could be. Okay, it could be.
The Minhag came up with that.
I don't know. I have to see the case. To have a straight up issue, machlokas like that is a good thing. The Ramah will paskin like Minhag over Gemara. We'll try to put them together, but we'll put, there's much more stock put into Minhagim on the Ashkenaz side than in the Sephardic side, and there's also different approaches to this rule in the Ashkenaz side versus on the Sephardic side. Just on the note of that riff, it is interesting that Rav Chanan Wasserman seems to disagree with that riff. He seems to give a different explanation why we would follow the Yerushalmi over the Bavli. The Bavli over the Yerushalmi. His suggestion is that when you got to the Bavli, you had the concept of Rov Chachmei Yisrael being in one place. So because, and which has the status of, according to him, that's sort of his dissertation, the thesis that he is presenting is that when you have Rov Chachmei Yisrael, the majority of the Chachmei Yisrael together and all paskening one thing, that actually has a status of a Beis Din HaGadol, which has interesting, very interesting applications and far-reaching effects, perhaps. So his suggestion, when you had the Yerushalmi, there were Rabbanim in Israel, in Tveria writing it, but there are also plenty in Babel that are operating parallel at the same time. So they never had the stamp of Rov Chachmei Yisrael, as opposed to the Talmud Bavli, which did. Right? So that is his idea. So he sort of doesn't accept, he doesn't record the idea of Halacha Kibasrai in that circumstance, but Halacha Kibasrai then makes its appearance with regards to...
They knew that there were more rabbis in Babel?
Not necessarily more. It's sort of the established, the vast majority of Rabbanim accepted a certain idea. Right? And so in Babel they had, so Rohanan developed this idea that they were all there, or mostly were there. Which is true. They weren't all there, but they were mostly there. Now, does that mean that they actually got together and had a vote? Mm-hmm. So when we talked about this once.
That's the question I had.
Yeah. When Rav Shefter used to discuss this, so he used to like sort of lay it out that way. So they all got together and they all decided. and that is the way I think the Chazon Ish has a line like that as well. The Amoraim agreed that the Tanayim were established, that it was Rav Chachmei Yisrael got together and established this, and then the Amoraim got together and established the Gemara, which is why the people in the later opinions can't disagree on the Mishnah and not. So Rav Shlomo Fisher in the Sefer Beis Yishai, so I think we did this in Chul once, he writes, it's very interesting that they had this big meeting, who kept this as a big secret? Like, why do we know? Like, we should have menus about what they served and what the snacks were. Right, so he sort of explains that it's not really that they all got together and had a major convention, but that it was just like accepted, and that the later the Amorayim, the Gemara age people, agreed amongst themselves that we're not going to disagree straight up with tonight. That's just going to be the way that it's. That's going to be the rules of the game.
When the Amorim were passing this, were Rav Chachmei Yisrael all in one place also?
I think we assume that they were in Babel. Yeah, the Mishnah was sort of established by the majority of Rabbanim, and they were accepted that way. And then that was the same thing was done later in Babel. But again, I don't think you have to say that it means that they all got together in Baghdad Arena and had a convention.
But then that tool doesn't really apply in a general sense.
So his Rav Chanan's suggestion is that it would, that if you have some type of halakhic thought, which is then agreed, like everybody just agrees to it, so then that actually would have the status. So we've spoken before that, in my opinion, that perhaps establishes something like the idea of having a mechitz and shul. Right, a mechitz and shul is not so clear where exactly the basis is for that, but once it was this agreed that this is going to be the official psak of all Orthodox rabbis, so it became the halakha.
Even though they weren't in the same place.
It means that they don't necessarily even have to be in the same place. I think that's a good application of that.
Hypothetically, if in our day, Rav Chachmei Yisrael were all in the same place,
yeah.
I mean, now I guess they're in two places, but if they all were in the same place,
right.
In theory,
that's the idea that the Rambam has about reinstituting the official smicha, that if you get everybody together in one place, then they could officially restart smicha, because they would have a status of a Beis Din HaGadol. Mm-hmm. But I think the bigger idea is that they don't even have to to do that. Meaning, if it just becomes clear that this is the consensus psak of Klal Yisrael, that itself has standing. So, Rosolovsky's example probably still is. Right? Well, electricity was established, so who knew what turning on an electric light? What is that on Shabbos? How do you figure that out? And you see, in the beginning, there was machlokas, and Chazon Ish and Rosh Hashanah Orvach had machlokas, etc. I said, but then it was established. It took a decade or two, and it got sorted out that we understand that turning on an electric light on Shabbos with an incandescent bulb is an Isser Doraisa. Right? That everybody agrees to that, even though it might not have been clear originally. But it doesn't mean that everyone got together and signed on to a piece of paper, right? It doesn't mean that's what the consensus was.
So they don't physically all have to be in the same place.
Correct. I think that's this idea, yeah.
So then in our day, with the mass communication and the instant communication, that would be easier almost.
Yeah, I think so.
To achieve.
It's okay. All right, so that's issue, so that's where it comes from. Now, the Rishonim then, so Tosfos then quotes in a few places as being, that's how we follow later opinions of Amoraim before earlier opinions. But who is there a way to establish it that it even applies post-Gemara? Right, right. That's an interesting idea in terms of klali apsak for the Gemara. There, actually, if you look up halacha, the term halacha in the Encyclopedia Talmudit, it gives you all the rules of psak about when this person disagrees with that person, who gets who wins out, and all it's like 30 pages of this. Who wins out these various machlokas? So this is a rule. This is a rule of how to understand psak in the Gemara, that you follow a later amora over an earlier amora. So the Rush is really the one who extends this into the realm of later authority, later halacha, that things, even poskim post Talmud, the idea of halacha kibasrai is going to apply. So this Rush appears, this is the sheet that I gave out, this is a Rush that appears in the Sechah Sanhedrin, Perek Dalad Sifvav. I might be one copy short. Yeah, okay. Okay. So the so he's actually discussing the Gemara, and we've come across this also issue recently. Okay. The difference between Toa B'Dvar Mishnah versus Toa B'Shikol Hadas. That there is a concept that Dayanim could be held liable if they make a mistake. That judge could be held liable if they make a mistake, depending on what kind of mistake it was. Also, the impact would be if it's sort of changeable. So they make a distinction between something that is a Toa B'Dvar Mishnah, that is something that he just didn't know how in the Mishnah, or in our equivalent would be, he just missed the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, meaning it's beferish on the books in a particular way, and he just didn't know it. Versus Toba Shikol Hadas, where he didn't, he made a mistake in logic, or a mistake in reasoning, mistake in svara, things like that. So he could be held accountable, or we could erase the din if it's a Toba Dvar Mishnah, but not if it's a Toba Shikol Hadas. So he quotes here in Vav, and try to skip quickly, but he quotes the Baal HaMor. From the Baal HaMor, I heard Mishum Chacham Gadol, that the Baal HaMor says that I heard, and this isn't the Baal HaMor, Vav, where it says Vav, about 10 lines from the top. Right? So the Baal HaMor is Al Shemati Mishum Chacham Gadol, Michach Mei Doreinu. So it's not the Baal HaMor, it's something he heard, right? So that no leislan toa b'shikol hadas, that nowadays we no longer have a possibility of somebody making a mistake in logic. Sharei kol halachos psukos b'yadenu, because all the halachos have already been paskind. Omin hashas, omin ha'odim she'achar shas, either from the Gemara or from the Gaonim that come afterwards. Right? It's impossible that you're going to find any new case that's going to come up that hasn't yet shown up in the time of the Gemara and the time of the Gaonim. So hilkach lo mishkachas idne toa b'shikol hadas el kol toa b'dvar mishnah him ton. Right. If anybody made a mistake, it must be a mistake in something that's black on white, rather than a mistake in logic. Right? I'm not sure what that word is. That's sort of rubbed out. A nearly what?
Baal HaMor lived a long time ago.
Correct. The Baal HaMor lived a long time ago. He lived before the Rush. Yes. Uh-huh. Right. The Rush. He lived. I'm not sure the years. He lived in Provence. He lived in a different area of the country. He was known as, he was one of the Chachmei. Yeah. He lived with the Raifid, that area. So. Yeah.
Be about
1200
or something.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. It's a Vani. I'm not sure what that next word is. Vani. It was rubbed out of my Gemara also, right? Which is a copy from Vani. Ain nearly Dvar Malal. I don't understand. It's El Kol Misha Ain Teuso Misbareres Mina Mishnah. Olam Mina Shas Mefurish Pili Safik Lav Toa B'Dvar Mishnah. Who El B'Shikol Hadas? Says, what do you mean? If it's not explicit in the text, so it's in Shikol Hadas, right? Well, what's your what is the issue here? So that's his machlokas in terms of, is everything in print yet? This, who is this arguer that the Baal Balamor. And the Balamor's like, what are you talking about? Not everything is in print. There still are things that need to be decided and judged, etc. Okay, next. Skip a couple of lines. It says, Varaivid. Varaivid, the word Raivid is underlined. Varaivid kasav al divrei Balamor, right? The emes amar hacham shimtab piskei ha-ga'onim shelo shama divreihem raiv ilu shama hayachozer bo bi emes uver zeu tobid var mishra. That he is right about the following. He is right that if there is a certain psak of the ga'onim, which he didn't hear, and had he heard it, he would have changed his plaque, so that would then qualify as a Dvar Mishnah, right? That is something that is textual as opposed to not textual, and that idea finds its way into what we read before from the Shach, that if there is a Shita from the Rishon that then shows up later, and had he known that, he would have passed differently, so then we would be, it sounds like we would be Choshesh for that. Shein lanu ato lachak al divrei ga'on, skip to the next... okay, and I say v'karuvani lomar. I think that's where we are, right? V'karuvani lomar. Shafilu yim hayacholik apsak hagon mitam shenira lo lefi daito shelo kedas hagon. I'm not sure what that next word is. Yana yatsa peperu yatsa kiperusho gamze tobid var mishta. Right, and also I would like to, and I'm close to saying that even if somebody disagrees with the psak of a gon for a reason that he thinks that also is considered tobid var mishta. She'in lanu ata lachlok al divrei gon mirias daitenu. Plus we have no right to disagree with a sheet of the gaonim based on our understanding. Lefarish inyan b'derech echad kadesh yishtana hadim b'divrei gon im lo b'kushim mefrasemis. Right, to disagree with the sheet of the gun, unless it's like a real obvious question, right? That what right, and this is an idea that we're probably used to in yeshiva, what right do you have to question the gaonim that you would actually disagree al pi halacha? So that seems to be the pshita, the v'zehu davrish ein nimsas, and we don't find the gaonim made a mistake, etc. That seems to be the sheet of the Raivid. Now the Raivid seems to be no, right? He's the one who went after the Rambam, like there's no, but the Rambam, but they were contemporaries, right?
But the Rambam had the sheet that you could be close.
Yes, the Rambam certainly disagreed with the Gaonim, and the Raivid doesn't always defend the Gaonim. Yeah, okay. Vani Omer, but I, this seems to be the rush, Vadai kol mi shetav v'piskei ga'onim shelo sham medivreyem v'cheshenemar lo psak ga'onim yishur be'enav tobid var mishni. He says, yeah, I agree with that idea, right? That if you didn't know about a certain shita exists, and now you found that it exists, and therefore you want to change your mind, yeah, well, we'll call that a tobid var mishni, right? It was a text that you missed. V'lo mi bai tobid v'piskei ga'onim el afil chacham shemachol dovedar. But it's not just about the ga'onim, it's anybody in any generation. Shachreyem, that later people lav kutli kani ba'agma hein, right, are not some kind of figure of speech hein v'im psak hadin shalok divrei v'sham divreim yashu be'ina v'hodesh atabidvar shetoa tobidvar mishnah hu v'chose, right? It would be with any opinion. If there's an earlier thing that's in print, well, not print, rush a little before the printing press, but anything that's in writing that that you didn't see earlier and now you see later, now you want to change your mind, we would qualify that as tobidvar mishnah. Aval im lo yashu be'ina divreim, but if you don't agree with that idea, or maybe Rayos Lidvar, when you bring proofs to your idea, Hamakubalim la Anshe Doro, that people accept and understand, Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmul Bedoro. Right? So Yiftach is, that's a concept that the Gemara itself has, that Yiftach is leader of his generation, and Shmuel's in his generation. So Yiftach is known as the classical mediocre leader, and Shmuel is known as the classic great leader. Right? So, if you disagree with an earlier opinion, so, okay, guess what? You have the right, right? You're the leader of your generation. If you can muster the A, courage, and B, the logical fortitude to be able to take on those earlier opinions, so you have the right to do so. Now, is that halacha kibasarai?
Sounds like it.
Sounds like
a... So Tashma is going to
say because you can go either way.
Yes, but Tashma points out that is not halacha kibasrai, right? That's an important concept, right? He claims there's two categories here. There's a category of yichtach v'doro kishmul gedoro, and there's a concept of halacha kibasrai. Yichtach v'doro is permission for you to pass in like earlier opinions. Halacha kibasrai is a rule that when you have two earlier opinions, you would pass in like the later one over the earlier one. Wow. That's his main thesis here. Okay? But he gets to halacha kibasrai a little bit later.
The first one, though, when you pass in for yourself, then future generations follow you?
That's your psak. That's your then possibly the basrai later on. Now,
so then the next generation, if they are confronted with now two choices, you and your predecessor,
Would they then we'll get to this a little later. This idea of halakha kibasrei, how much is that? I mean, where on the list do we rank that as a hierarchy of which, when we have a disagreement, right? Is that the first thing we turn to, or is it the last thing we turn to? Right? So the, well, at first glance it might seem it's the first thing, it probably, at least Tashma's claim, and it probably seems to bear out the halakha, is it really is the last thing we turn to. I mean, that might be a tiebreaker when we can't settle else otherwise. And then, you know, there's other caveats also about who exactly are these people that are involved in the disagreement, right? That's also going to bear an important idea.
But the second one doesn't have to find an error in reasoning of the first one, though. Because you had mentioned that in passing.
Well, for halacha kibasrei, no. But for yiftach k'dor k'shvul b'dor, for sure you do. I mean, for one a person to... I mean, in terms of the later person versus the earlier opinion, and you could assume the later person saw the earlier opinion,
yes.
Right, you don't necessarily have to know what their reasoning is to say, oh, well, I'll file the later opinion over the earlier opinion.
Right.
But for you to say, I disagree with that earlier person, for sure you do.
Okay.
Yeah. So, ein lecha ela shofet asher yeh b'yamim ahem v'yachol listor divrayim ki kol divrayim she'im v'varim b'shas v'sheder av ashi v'ravina adam yachol listor v'livnos afil lachlok al divrei ha'ga'onim. And here the Rosh says, a very important rule, because anything that is not sealed in the Gemara of Ravina and Rav Ashi, so... So a person has the right to disagree with, even against Divrei Gaonim. Now the Rosh doesn't put any limits on that, right? This is a concept that the Gemara is sealed. After that, Rosh says it's fair game. Anybody is fair game. You can disagree on anybody. Now the Rosh is already living 800 years after the sealing of the Gemara.
Fair game for anyone after the Gemara is sealed. Not the people in the Gemara itself.
What do you mean?
They can't contradict people in the Gemara.
No.
The only question is people who came after the Gemara.
Correct. Okay. Right, you're right. So behind that earlier, Rafuna Lurashis, and he gives an example of that. Skip a couple of lines. He says, Aval Hadayin Shehup Shita Shish Lachok al Divrayim, Da Moroim Achronim Panun Cholkim al Rishon. Vadarab, right? We see that people do disagree. Vadarab, Anu Tosin Divrei Achronim Iker. And not only that, we hold the last people to be the Iker. Kivin Shiyadu Svaras Harishim, they knew the earlier opinions. Visvarasam Vehichriyan Bein Elu Hasvaros, and they worked through it. The Amdual Ikru Shaldavar Chiyotzi Bazen, they held what they held was right. We don't learn halachas from the Gemara, from the Mishnah, but rather from the Amorayim, from the Gemara, how they interpreted the Mishnah. Even though Tanoim are considered greater, we're still going to paskin like the Amorayim in terms of what their interpretation is of the Tanoim. But if somebody knows, can figure out their psak, so then we would paskin like that. Okay, so what did the Rosh just lay out here? The Rosh said that we follow right later opinions over earlier opinions. First, he passed one, two things. Number one is you have the right to paskin against earlier positions. And second of all, when things being equal, we would follow later opinions over earlier opinions because the later opinions knows what the earlier opinion says. Now, the Rosh never explicitly says that this really applies to us, to post-Shas Machlokasim. I mean, he's saying we have the right to, but he doesn't. I don't think he says it explicitly, but it is discussed by his children. That's the one thing that Tashma has here right off the bat. That he quotes that his children actually have a discussion about this, and they stood up for the father and said, "No, that's exactly what he meant. That he meant not just amongst the Gemara, but even amongst later positions, later authorities. We would follow later authorities over earlier authorities, and what's the svara? So that svara was given by the Rosh, right? Because we assume that the later opinion saw the earlier opinion. Okay? Now, do we paskin like that? Do we paskin like this idea of the Rosh? So, he suggests as well that that is a machlokas, machaper, and rama. And I neglected to bring the Chelek Aleph of the Torah. The Chelek Aleph of the Torah, he has the introduction of the Mechaber, as well as the introduction of the Ramah. And the Ramah actually says, in the Ramah, so how does the Mechaber paskin? Right, the Mechaber paskins with his, in theory, except for when he doesn't, right? The three The Beeston, right? Riff, Rambam, and Rush, right? We're going to take majority. He doesn't say anything about when they lived. Isn't right? He says those are the positions that we're going to pass in. Like, right, there's nothing taken into account of. Oh, but if somebody later than them disagreed, so we're going to, no, that's not. He doesn't include that at all. The Darkei Moshe actually said on his lists of complaints about why he feels the need to, on one hand, comment on the Shulchan Aruch, but really what he's doing is pretty much destroying what the Shulchan Aruch wanted to do. Right, the Shulchan Aruch wanted to establish a Pesach Halach for all of Klal Yisrael, and the Ramah is saying, yeah, that's great, except we're going to do this, which pretty much means that he's destroying the authority, the overall authority of the Shulchan Aruch. But he gives a couple of tiny complaints that he has to the Shulchan Aruch, and he says the third one is the Iker one, the third one is the main one, and that is that he ignored a whole bunch of other people, especially people that come after the Rambam, Riff, and Rush, and we know that there's a rule called Halacha Kebasrei, that we file later opinions. So do we file this idea of Halacha Kebasrei even with later opinions after the sealing of the Gemara? So it sounds like it's Machlokas. So Machlokas Mechaber the Ramah. The Mechaber says all equal, which seems to be that second position of the Shachir, while the first position that the Shach is saying is the position of the Ramah. Yeah.
So you're saying that there's one opinion, there's Halacha Basrei refers to the Gemara itself.
Within the Gemara itself, yeah. That the Gemara, that in terms of paskening from the Gemara, there's a rule of Halacha Kebasrei, yeah.
And once that's, but not anywhere beyond that, it doesn't apply.
Correct, that would be the Mechaber would say.
So then what would you do?
So either you're going to follow votes, meaning what the Mechaber seemed to set up, or you'll follow logic. But you don't get any better standing just because you come later, in terms of later positions. Okay? So this idea of the Ramah, of the Shach here, about this idea, is also codified, not just in the introduction of the Darkei Moshe, but in the Ramah himself. That the Ramah himself, on this halakha that the Rush was working off of, the idea of a distinction between Shikl Hadas versus Dvar Mishnah, so that has a pretty long section here with a pretty massive, I should say pretty long, massively long shach on that issue in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Chafei, Sif Beis. And at the very end of that section, the Ramah adds in here, he says, Kol Makom Shedivri HaRishonim K'suvim Al Sefer, Vahim before summon, right? Anytime when you have earlier positions and they're well known, Vahaposkim Hachronim Chulkim Aleihem, and later opinions argue on them, right? Kemo Shalapamim Haposkim Chulkim Al Gaonim, for instance, Poskim, not sure, again, who the Ramah is calling Poskim, I'm not sure, but later opinions are arguing on Gaonim, Chulkim Achar Hachronim. We follow later opinions. The halacha kibasrei, because we follow later opinions, me abaye v'rava ve'elach, from time abaye and rava and onwards, meaning until now. Aval imnimtza l'pavim tshuvas gon, but sometimes you do find the tshuvas gon. V'lo ala zichrono al sefer, it didn't get mentioned. V'nimtzu achirim chulk, others disagree with it. Ein tzrichin lisuk k'divri ha'achronim she'efshar shelo yadu divri ha'gon v'yavi shemeya luhu hadribu. Right, but it could be they just didn't know that position. Had they known that position, so then they would have backed out. So that's sort of the squal. I mean, halacha kibasrei is not going to apply when you find that other, all of us, you know, somewhat missing opinion that all of a sudden comes into existence. Now, there is an important idea, though, that is quoted on the side here by the Pesachei Tshuva. Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Tshuvas HaRav, well, first he quotes from, right, first he says, would this even apply Yachid against Rabin? They sort of leaves it as, maybe. It could. And he says, quotes from the Rav Moshe Rutenberg, not sure, the Maram Rutenberg is Rav Meir Rutenberg, right? So I'm not sure who Rav Moshe Rutenberg is. Halachik Basrai, we call Makom near it, the high claw, lo nemar, elahicha da akron, mvara dvara, baraya seduka. So it only makes sense if the later person has really good proofs. Aval hicha de ha akron kosev daito, bistam belishum raya, but when the later person just writes his opinion without any proofs, shalokadas haposek hakodem lo, without the person before him, you have to find where this continues, it's here. My So what better off is the later person than the earlier opinion? I mean, we're not going to rely on it unless they have specific proofs that are proving that. Fine. So that is that's Pesachu that you need to. So where then are you left? So you left. It seems like if you follow this, we will follow Halacha Kebasrei. But as Tashma here points out, it's more of a limiting idea for the posek than a than a broadening rule of the posek, right? It's just another rule that you sort of need to go through before you can sort of be machria on your own, right? That it's a rule that we follow. You know, we follow rabbim against biyut. We also follow rabbanim against talmidim, right? That was one of the rules that we came across. How that fits with halachic basrai, you gotta work that out.
That's weird,
right?
I mean, because the talmidim become rabbanim,
right? That seems to fit into a Kavod HaRav type thing. It could be that also is a... I mean, it could be that's lower on the hierarchy than higher on the hierarchy. Yes, if all things are equal, we'll follow the... You know, I don't know the logic. I can't figure out, you know.
But if the Rabbayim... If the Rabbayim were that good of educators, then theoretically the Talmidim could have more knowledge.
Except for when they don't, you know. You know, I think ultimately in Ashkenazi thought, and Sephardic thought is going to be different. In Ashkenazi derech hapsak, there is more freedom for a person to figure out what they hold is right. And these are perhaps guiding principles to use when you haven't come to that conclusion. Ultimately, one has the right to come to their conclusion. But in terms of who's then going to have impact on the rest of the world, right? You have a Rebbe and a Talmud, so it's great that we have a machlokes, and the Talmud would say, well, I paskin like me, right? But what's... You know, what's congregant going to do? What's the guy in the next town over going to do? What's that? How much standing is that going to have?
Question?
Yeah.
Okay. When you're following halakha kibbutz rai, and the latter, and you have two people with them, the second person is later.
Mm-hmm.
Does the second person need more certitude in his opinion to change the first than the first person?
So the assumption is that he had more certitude, otherwise he wouldn't have changed the first opinion.
Because the first person, it could be like two options and I'm going to choose one.
Right.
And the second person, it can't just be, you know, I would have chosen the other. He has to be more sure than the first one.
Right, so that is the svara, that is the logic behind the Kibbutz Rai, that the second person is more sure, otherwise he wouldn't have changed it. Yeah. So now, how far back does this go? I mean, how far can somebody now disagree with go all the way back? So in the Pesukim with Shuvos here, he quotes from the Sefer from the Tumim, where he goes after people that disagree on the Shach. Now, it's a little, and he actually quotes the entire section here about how can you disagree with the Shach? The Shach was able to figure out between Rishonim who is this and who is that, right? He was able to look at the Rishonim and say, I think this Rishon is right and this Rishon is incorrect. And how is it possible? And there's no way that people nowadays can make that distinction. So it's a little difficult to do that, especially in that context. Because the Shach was doing that, right? I mean, he said you can't agree with the Shach, because the Shach had the ability to figure out between Rishonim. Well, that means that if you would disagree with the Shach, you would be doing the same thing the Shach did. So he is claiming that how can you have the brilliance to do so? So maybe he saw in his generation who can have the brilliance to do so, but it doesn't necessarily mean that in the future there won't be anyone that has the brilliance to do so. But he quotes him and two other positions. They're also from the Tshuva of Akiva Eger, as well as the Tshuva from the Divrei Chaim, where all seem to go and sort of mock the idea that one could go back and disagree on Rishonim. I remember once listening to one, there's a bunch of shirim on the Jerusalem Kol from Eliezer Berkowitz. He once discussed this idea of disagreeing with Rishonim and said, well, we'll technically get to this. He says, technically you can do it, but you'd have to be crazy too. Right? And he says, it's two reasons why you wouldn't want to disagree with Rishonim. Number one is you'd have to be crazy too. That was the first reason. And the second reason is because Rishonim are different than anyone after the Shulchan Aruch. I think as Rav Yosef Karo, Rav Yosef Borkas points out, that Rav Yosef Karo is the first person in history to brag about the size of his library. Right? Before that, everybody bragged about the Rebbeim. Right, that they had a direct Mesorah. And that really is the distinction between Rishonim and Achronim. Rishonim are learning off of a direct tradition. At least that's our assumption, right? They're talking about who their tradition is. While Achronim, Shulchan Aruch and onwards, they're talking about their library. They're talking about the books that they have and being able to work in that context. So it's a different, you're talking about different realities. However, with these three ideas, he does not quote the Shita of Rav Moshe, which I'm sure Joel is thinking about right now, as we've talked about it before, and that is the famous Shiva of Rav Moshe in Chelek Aleph of Yerodeya, Simen Kuf Aleph. So this is Simen Kuf Aleph, Kuf Aleph is pretty lengthy, and it is entitled Ode B'inyan Hanal. which means more about what I was talking about before. So what was he talking about before? The one before also says Od Binyan Anal. And the one before that says Od Binyan Anal. And the one before that says it as well. Oh no, the one before that actually tells you it's about Binyan Mochba Uzen Mutfil. The idea of putting a earplugs into the ear when a woman has to go to mikvah. Right? And he was clearly having some kind of machlokas with this Shimon Trabnik, who the tshuvas are addressed to. It was still while he was in Luban, I see. He was still writing from while he was still in Russia. Yeah. And he was clearly having a machlokas with this person. And actually, there is a tshuva that comes later. Again, Od Binyan Mochba Uzen Mutfila, which he wrote to somebody else. But towards the end, where you see he's getting kind of frustrated, because you see this person is arguing, but you don't have a proof. What Moshe is trying to do is he's permitting a woman who has some kind of ear infection to go to the mikveh with something in her ear, even though that would technically be considered a chatzitza, that would be considered a separation. So Moshe wants to say it's okay. He has a big chiddush as to say why it's okay. And this person's arguing, but you have no proof that it's okay. It's just you're a chiddush. To which Moshe finally, somewhat exasperatingly at the end, says, Vade says, that which you write, what right do we have to rely on these chidushim that we're extrapolating practically, and certainly when it's against perhaps some earlier positions? Has there been some kind of boundary that has been created by Torah? And if so, rakmash and nimsav esfarim, that we can only paskin about like the way it's written in certain esfarim. And when we get shailas that haven't appeared in esfarim beforehand, we have no right to paskin. Right? That can't be. You can't say that. That we're still going to increase Torah in our time. Right, and we have a responsibility to pass them the best as we can. And even if it's found in Sfarim, so you have to paskin. You have to understand what the Sfarim are saying in order to paskin like them. And if you don't, you are violating a din that we talked about earlier of paskining straight out of a Mishnah, which the Gemara says not such nice things about a person who does such a thing. You need to just paskin out Shulchan Aruch, just paskin out Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He's wrong, right? It's not a good idea. Moshe says you have to know what the reasoning is. Even if we disagree from earlier geniuses of the Achronim, he's not talking about Gaonim, he's talking about genius, you mean something like Sam Sofer. Even if you might get that conclusion, Mabakach, Havade Shrishon, Af Anulachal Kalachronim, the Gamla Pa Mimal Ezer Rishonim Kashiyesh Rayos Nechonos. And that's like the key line. He says, and even disagree on Rishonim when you have proofs. But Iker Gamba Tamim Nechonim Vachayotim is Amru Ein Ladayan El Masha Ein Avros. At the end of the day, you have to paskin the way you see it. You have to call it as you see it, assuming you have the guts, and assuming you have the shoulders, and assuming you have the inner fortitude to be able to do so. But that is Rav Moshe's famous psak. I'm shocked that he didn't include Rav Moshe. I mean, it's pretty prominent today that he wouldn't include Rav Moshe on this list here, not even in the footnote. But that is the extent. And so then how would we paskin? So the truth is we sort of... So when all things being equal, right, we would paskin like Halach Kabasarai. When one logic is better than another, when we see one, when one side sits with a rav better than the other, we would paskin like the logic. Now, is Rav Moshe the end game? So for the first time, I am seeing that Rav Asher Weiss is taking on Rav Moshe straight up. I haven't seen anybody. In the past, it's been, no, Rav Moshe was only talking about this, but we're talking about this. Rav Asher Weiss in Chuvas is taking on Rav Moshe. He's saying, nah, I disagree. I don't think he has a good proof, or something like that. So the cycle of Torah is churning on, Baruch Hashem, and I'm sure Rav Moshe couldn't be prouder than having somebody to step up and be able to disagree with him. Okay, so that is the concept of Halacha Kabasarai. We did not talk about, maybe we'll touch on it next week, although it could be a long discussion, it could be a short discussion, the issue of this manuscript thing, right? Where does that step in? All of a sudden, you find some manuscript from an earlier time. So, could that actually change anything? Bizman Hazeh, there's a famous Chazon Ish on it, which we didn't talk about. I guess we'll pick up with that next week. The Shach would qualify as an Achron, yes. Although he sort of has like special status. Yeah, I mean, he lived the ripe old age of 40. So.